Okay, we're going to do Parag Beis. Parag Beis is short in content, in words, but is rich in contents. But so we'll go through the Parag actually relatively quickly, but there's a lot about some material I want to show you this evening. Vayiman Hashem li dog gadol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a large fish, livlos liyona to swallow yona. Vayiyona bimei adoga, adog, I'm sorry, the last word in each line is cut off, it was inadvertent. Vayiyona bimei adog, shlosha yamim shlosha leilos. Yona was in, somebody who has a real Tanakh, you'll correct me if I make a mistake and read the pasuk, please. Yona was in the fish's stomach for 3 days and three nights. But let me just read the second pasuk because the two psukim go together. Vayispelel Yona el Hashem elokov, Yona daven to Hashem, his God, mi mei mei hadogah, from the innards of the fish. Now, Rashi and the Chazal say that there were two fish, because in the first pasuk it says dog, and the second pasuk says dogah, and dog is male, and dogah is female. And what happened was, in the first fish, Yona got too comfortable. It was a lot of room. But in the dogah, the female fish, had a lot of eggs inside. So therefore, he got kind of squashed. So once he was in the second fish, he started feeling uncomfortable and started davening. That's what Chazal say. The Radak brings, the Chazal, that the fish for this task, or fish in plural, were created during Shesh Yemei Breishis, the 6 days of creation. This is perhaps connected to the fish's unique quality to keep your owner alive, because normally if you're swallowed by a fish, you ain't going to survive very long. So there must have been a miracle here which was intended from already 6 days of creation. There should be such a fish created which will keep your owner alive during that time. The Malbim says a fascinating thing here, that such nisim require a survivor to undergo a gestation. Whereas it was as if Yonah was reborn in the fish. Al Peter Chateva, based on the simple laws of nature, he could not have survived. So here was a miracle which emulated a new pregnancy and rebirth on Yonah's part. As far as he's concerned, he was chayav. As far as his previous life was concerned, he was chayav Misa. He should have been put to death. He should have been killed. And this nes which kept him alive is not just a new lease on life figuratively, but also means that he had to now be reborn with a new role, a new task, a new, new commitment, to be more accurate, towards the plan which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with him. In that light, you can understand perhaps the first word in the parak, Vayiman, that Vayiman literally means to summon, right? But here we can say man has to do with mon. We know the mon in the desert provided a supernatural spiritual sustenance for the Jews. And here too, the fish provided for Yonah a supernatural, obviously miraculous sustenance to keep him alive during those days when he was underwater. Going into Pasuk Beis a little bit further, it's obvious that Hashem is trying to provoke Yonah into davening. He's sending him, especially according to Chazal, who say from fish to fish, and through those days and nights, because Hashem is trying to get Yonah to daven, and Yonah is not willing to open his mouth. The whole time, Yonah is silent. And it's a very strange thing. And as a matter of fact, as we'll see, Yonah was not going to daven, or as we do see, Yonah did not daven when his life was in danger. He didn't daven in the boat. He didn't daven when he was sinking to the bottom. He didn't daven when he was thrown from fish to fish. The only time he started davening is when he saw he wasn't going to die, but he was going to live a very difficult life. So at that point he decided, you know what, it's time for me to start davening. But otherwise he wouldn't have davened. Now, as far as we're concerned, these two psukim connote, describe the entire fish experience. However, there's a lot more to it, and we're going to see that in a moment. Did you want to say something?
Yeah. Didn't we
learn
the other
term
that Yonah wanted to die?
So that's right, Yonah did not die. You're right.
So why would he want to
of
die?
Course he wouldn't. Right, of course, right, you're right. It follows logically from the first parak that he's not going to daven to live. He's only going to daven when it gets uncomfortable and he sees God is not killing him, so then he would like to be redeemed from his difficult situation. So let's turn, now I know it's going to be small letters and I apologize for that, but let's turn now to page 3. This 3 is from Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which is obviously a medrash of Chazal, and we're going to see what Hashem did here with Yonah. And I'm not going to comment on it so much now. I want to bring it all together at the end of the evening. And in the middle text, on the right hand column, Vayiman Hashem Dagadol. Everybody sees the last line. Okay? Well, actually, let's start a little bit from below that, above that. Three lines to the bottom. Rabbi Tarfon Omer. Rabbi Tarfon says, Memuna Yosa Dog, that fish was appointed, Livlo Es Yona, to swallow Yonah, Mishesh to Mebreshes, from the 6 days of creation. Shneem had said, Vayiman Hashem Dog Godol, Hashem summoned this great fish, Livlo Es Yona, to swallow Yonah. Nichnas Befiv. Yonah went into the fish's mouth. Ka'adam shunichlas abeis ha'knesses gedola. Like a person went to a big shul, v'amad, and stood there. V'hayu shtei enov shel dag, and the two eyes of the fish were, kechalonos apumios. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but a type of stained glass window, I guess. Mios v'yonah, which illuminated for Yonah. Rabbi Meir, Meir says a different interpretation. Margolius achas soisa. There was one precious stone. Tuya b'meyav shel dog, which was dangling in the innards of the fish. The Meir Yonah, which illuminated for Yonah, kashemesh hazeh, like the sun. Shumeir b'tzaraim, which illuminates in the afternoon. Umar alone showed him kol mashabiyam. Everything was in the sea, it was almost in the depths. V'olav Omer, HaKos of Omer, concerning Yonah, the pasuk says, Oroz Arua Latzadik, there was a light planted for the righteous individual. Amala Adagli Yonah, so the fish said to Yonah, Eina Yitoyodea, do you not know, Sheba Yomi Le'ochel Befid Shalivyasan, that it's my time to be consumed by the Livyasan, by the giant fish. Amala Yonah said, Tisk Tisk, Holy Cheni Etzlo, bring me to the Livyasan. Amar Yonah Livyasan, so when they got to the Livyasan, Yonah said to him, aha, bishvilcho yaradati, for you I came down, liros mako midurecha, to see where you live. You know why? Shani osid litein chevel b'lishoncha, I am eventually going to put a rope through your tongue, ula loscha, bring you up, lizbachoscha, slaughter you, lesuda agdola shal tzadikim, for the great feast of the tzadikim. Hero chosama shal Avraham, Yonah showed him, I guess, the Bris Milah, the seal of Avraham. Amar, and he said to Livyasan, Habeit Labris, look at the covenant. V'roah Livyasan, Livyasan saw, Ubarach mipne Yonah, and it fled from Yonah, Mahalach shnei yomim, the distance of 2 days worth. Amar lo, so Yonah said to the little big fish, Harei tzaltichom epiv shel Livyasan, I saved you from the mouth of Livyasan. Harei kamashabiyam uvratu tomos. Show me everything that is in the sea and in the depths. Vero nor godol shel, he showed him the great river, the Malbim translates nahar here as current. Shel meimei okeanos, of the river's oceans. Shneamer says, Tomi Soveveni, these are all quotes from Sukkim in our Perek. The depths surrounded me. Ve'ereu Yamsu Vishonim, the Red Sea, the Reed Sea, Shavru B'Sor Yisrael, to which the Jews passed. Shneamer says, Suf Chavush L'Roshi, there were reeds all around my head. Ve'ereu Mako Mishbrei Yam, Vishonim, the breakers of the sea, Ve'galam and its waves, Yotzi Mena, where they come out. Shneamer says, Ko Mishbarecha V'Galecha L'Avaro, all your breakers and waves passed over me. Ve'ereu Amudi Aretz M'Choneh, he showed in the pillars of the land and its foundations. Shneamer says, Aretz Michel Ba'di Li'Olam, the land, bolts were around me forever. Haro Gehenim, he showed him where purgatory was. Shneamer says, V'Tal Mishachas Chaya, he took me up from Shachas, Hashem Elokai, God my Lord. Ve'ereu Shol Tachtis, he showed him the lowest level of Gehenim, the lowest level of the grave, so according to some other interpretation. Shneamer says, Mibetan Shol Shivati, from the innards of the grave I cried out, Shamat Koli, you heard my voice. Ve'ereu Hechel Hashem, and the fish showed him the sanctuary of God. Shneamer says, L'katzvei Horim, we came down to the bottom of the mountains. Mikananu made him, from here he learned, Sheyushalayim, that Yushalayim, Al Shivayim Yomed, stands on seven mountains. I'm not sure how we learned that, but that's what he says. Hero Eben Shasiya showed him the rock, allegedly under the dome of the rock. Kivua, which is the central rock in the base of Mikdash, which is embedded betomos in the depths. Tachas Eichel Hashem, under the sanctuary, Uvnei Korach, and the children of Korach, Ondim, are standing there, Mispalim Aleh, and davening upon it. Amar Adag Liyoina. So the fish said to him, Yoina, Harei Atoi Mei Tachas Eichel Hashem, is standing underneath the sanctuary. Hispalel, now daven, Vato Nen, and you'll be answered. So Yonah says to the fish, "Know what? Tuck it. Amogim kom avdecha. Stand where you're standing now. Shani mevakish lispal, because I want to daven now." Amar adag, the fish stood. Vischil Yonah lispal ifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yonah started davening before God. V'amar lefanav and said to Hashem, "Ribbono shel Olam, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, nikreisa moridu maala. You're called the He who pushes down and uplifts. Yagadati, I went down. Haleni, bring me up." You're called He who puts to death and gives life. My soul reached death. Give me life. But Yonah was not answered. Until he said what we're going to learn in the penultimate pasuk in our parak. Asher nadati ashalema, that which I promised I will keep. Asher nadati, what is the nether which Yonah promised and will keep? La'loses livyason, to pull up the livyason, lizbrachos olvanecha, and sacrifice him before you. Ashalem, that I will pay, b'yor mishuas yisro, when the Jews will be redeemed. Miyad, immediately, Ramaz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem alluded to the fish, v'yishlichas Yonah, and it cast Yonah out. Shneimer says, v'yomer Hashem la'dog, God said to the fish, v'yakis Yonah le'abosha, and it spewed Yonah out onto the shore. Roa Malach, in the meantime, don't forget the sailors from Perek Aleph. What do you think? They went away? They're witnessing all this. The sailors from the first Perek of the boat saw Skol Anasa, Kol Sosvani Flos Aglos, they saw all the great signs and wonders, Shasa Keshbron Yonah, which God did with Yonah. Miyad, immediately, Omdu, they stood up, Vishlichu Ishes Elohav Bayom, they threw their idols into the sea. Shneimer says, Mashamri Mavle Shav, those who kept smoke and emptiness, Chazdom Yazovu, that to which they did mercy, they will throw away, they will leave. The Chazu Liafo, they went up to Yafo, V'ol Yushalayim, and they went up to Yushalayim, Umolos B'sarosim, they got circumcised. Shneimer says, V'yiru ha-malochim yir g'dolos Hashem, the sailors had a great fear of God, V'yizbuchu zevach l'Hashem, they sacrifices to God. V'chizevach tzavchu, did they sacrifice? We don't accept sacrifices from goyim. Elazel dam bris, rather they circumcise themselves. Shukadam zevach, which is like the blood of a korban. The nadru, and they promised b'shomu, and they paid lavi ishes ishto, that every man brought his wife as kolah shalom, all that he owned. Liyiras elokei Yonah, to fear the God of Yonah. The nadru b'shomu, they promised and they paid back. Valei mormen, and them it says alagerim gerit zedek, these are righteous converts. Now, this is remarkable. All the things which happened to Yonah down there, it doesn't say anything in the two psukim we learned. But Yonah was basically showed all the secrets of the universe when he was taken down to the sea, according to this Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Also, a very interesting thing, which I want to come back to also later on, is that Yonah here has a remarkable task, not just the task to go to Nineveh. He's the guy who's got to come when the ultimate gula comes and slaughter the Leviathan and prepare the meal for the tzaddikim. Well, there's a Gemara about that in Bava Basra. Gemara Bava Basra says somebody else is going to do that. Gemara Bava Basra says that Gavriel, the Malach Gavriel, is going to do that. Now, it's a contradiction, obviously, but obviously, there must be, therefore, some connection between Yonah and Gavriel. And we have to draw that connection to understand how Yonah and Gavriel are connected, how their tasks might overlap or be similar. Again, as I said, I want to come back to this later in the evening. In the meantime, let's go through the rest of the parak. Let's go back to the Navi. And let's do Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer, this is Yonah's tefillah. Karasi mitzarali, I called from my travail, El Hashem, to God, Vayaneni, and he responded to me. Mibeten shol shivati, from the stomach of the grave, I called out, Shamata koli, and you heard my voice. The Malbim learned this pasuk is a preamble to the actual tefillah of Yonah. Yonah, according to the Malbim, had three segments in his tefillah. He spoke about the three travails which just befell him. First of all, that he was thrown into the sea and then he gave up on his life. Secondly, that after the first fish spit him out, he gave up his life because he was plummeting to the depths before the second fish came. And thirdly, finally, he's calling out to God and asking for mercy because of all that difficulty he's having now in the stomach of the second fish. So the three segments in the tefillah, and the Malbim identifies them one by one. Now, Before we go to the next psukim, however, there is a difficulty here in the entire tefillah, in which it says, it seems as if Yonah is talking about the past tense. He's saying, oh, this happened to me, and that happened to me, and shamata koli, you already listened to me. Yet if it's a tefillah, so God didn't yet listen. Yonah is asking for God to listen to him, but that obviously didn't occur yet. So why is Yonah talking in the past tense? Shamata koli, you already heard me. So the Ibn Ezra addresses this. And Ibn Ezra says a remarkable thing, which is that when a Navi davens, he davens with a prophetic spirit. And since he davens with a prophetic spirit, he knows that he will be answered. Therefore, as far as he is concerned, is if he is already answered. And therefore, when he davens, he addresses it as if already, Shamata Koli, you already listened to what I have to say. Okay, and that's why Yonah speaks in the past tense throughout this tefillah. Yeah.
Why the change of this? He first says,
that's interesting. You know, maybe Taka the Malbim only means to say that the first line is the preamble. Karasi mitzor aliyah l'Hashem v'yaneni, and he responded to me. And then he starts with the actual... But that's not true. I don't know. It's a good question. Could be it asked if it, just thinking off the top of my head, it is the reverse order, but it could be it has to do with the way we make a bracha. We make a bracha, we also stress Hashem in two different ways. Baruch atah, right, as if we're addressing Hashem directly, and then Hashem elokeinu melech haolam, as if Hashem is not present. So it could be that tefillah very often goes back and forth between asking Hashem in a direct tone and praising him as a king, even though he's somewhat distant from us. Could be. Okay, the pasuk Dalet starts with, according to the Malbim, with the fact that he was thrown down to the sea. V'atashlicheni mitzvah, you send me down to the depths, b'levav yamim, in the middle of the seas. V'nehoi soveveni, I was surrounded by a river. Now, most of the Mefarshim learn that the river is some river which empties out into the sea around Yafo, where he was thrown off the boat, which would be today the Kishon River. However, the Malbim learns that, as we learned in the first parak, the storm which attacked the boat in which Yonah was in was a miraculous one. It happened only to that boat and not to anybody else. So the Malbim learns this Nahar is an undersea current. And only in that spot did the current affect the boat and cause all these great storms and squalls and all that. So that's what he means. V'noi soveni, the current underneath us surrounded our boat. Komish barecho, all your breaking waves, v'galecho, and your regular waves, olayavara, passed over me when they threw me down into the sea. V'ani amarti, and I said, migrashti, I was cast away mineged enecho, from before your eyes. However, achosif, later I learned that I would be able again, labite lechal kotshecha, to gaze into the sanctuary of your holiness. When was that? When he was swallowed by the fish. Because he saw, God intends to keep him alive. Otherwise, God would not have brought the fish. So it must be there is still hope for him to get to the hechal kotshecha of Hashem. Apofuri mine. Now this starts the second part according to the Malbim. Afofuni mayim an nefesh, the waters surrounded me until my soul. Tahom yisovaveni, the depths surrounded me. Sub chavush l'roshi, there were reeds adorning or attached to my head. Now it's interesting. The Radak translates suf as algae. And he actually says in the Malbim, in the Radak, aleph lamed gimel aleph. So I guess it's also a some sort of Spanish or Latin word. But in any event, according to most Mefarshim, this pasuk is talking about in the fish. And obviously there was a lot of seaweed or algae in the fish, right? Or according to the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer, it's talking about the Yamsuf, because Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer said that he went into the Yamsuf. However, the Malbim says that this is talking about when the first fish regurgitated Yonah. So Yonah was there sinking into the sea. And he was sinking into the Tahom. The Tom are the deepest depths of the sea. And above his head, Chavush L'Roshi, was the Suf. The Suf is the surface area where you have all sorts of stuff floating around. Reeds and algae and all sorts of other stuff. So Yonah was saying, boy, can you imagine how I felt on the way down, plummeting down into the depths when the first fish spit me out and the second fish, and it swallowed me, and all the soup was on top, and I was going down, 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 further and further. So that was his second travail, which he's mentioning here. I went down to the ends of the mountains. The land, its bolts surrounded me, and I thought that I would never get out. Lola means I thought that I would was bolted in forever. Nonetheless, Hashem Elokai, you took me out of this total annihilation of the nether to home of the lowest regions, and brought me out to life when the second fish swallowed me. However, that also caused Yonah problems. Why? Bisatef olai nafshi es Hashem zacharti. Now, most of Parshim learned bisatef olai nafshi means when I became exhausted. However, the Maamar says bisatef olai nafshi means when I became wrapped around with eggs in the innards of the female fish. And it got very, very difficult in them. Then es Hashem zacharti, I finally remembered to call out to God. Vatovo elech tfilasi, and my prayers come to you. Tfilasi, my tefillah elechal kodshecha, into the sanctuary of your holiness. So the Radak learns that the sanctuary of holiness refers to the to Shamayim, to the heavens. Your my tefillah was brought to the heavens. The Malbim learns here, like the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer, that Echal Kodshecha represents the Beis HaMikdash, and that Yonah was saying that I was underneath the Beis HaMikdash and I davened there to you, Hashem, to save me. Mishamrim Havleishav. Now, the last few psukim are very ambiguous. The Farshim have a lot of difference of opinion as to what they mean. Mishamrim Havleishav, those who watch, who keep the Havleishav, the emptiness of that which is incorrect, Chazdom Yazovu will relinquish their chesed. Now, the Rashi Mabi learned this is talking about the sailors, and they're saying that ultimately the sailors were not faithful to God. Not like the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer. Even though they promised to become good people and to bring all sorts of tzedakah and karbanos, ultimately they reneged. They didn't do it. Mishamrim Havleishav, those who maintain the emptiness of that which is incorrect, Chazdom Yazovu, their great pledges, their great chesed, which they intended to do to the Jews, they just forsook. They never fulfilled it. That's how the Malbim and Rashi learn, more or less that's how Rashi learns, excuse me. The Malbim learns it has to do with Nineveh. And Hashem, and Yonah was pleading with Hashem and saying, look, Hashem, these guys in Nineveh, even if they claim that they're going to do chesed, that they're going to do tshuva, ultimately they're going to renege on it. Why bother sending me there? Let me off the hook. That's how the Malbim learns. The Radak and Ibn Ezra, along with the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer, learn that it's talking about the sailors and in a positive light. And chazdom, chesed doesn't always mean a good thing. Chesed sometimes means a bad thing, like it says in Chumash, that if somebody has relations with his sister, that's a chesed. And that's used in a negative connotation. So here too we're saying that the sailors left their chesed, that which they had an improper relationship with, behind, and they came close and joined the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Yonah, according to this, was perhaps invoking this fact that the sailors were doing tshuva as a merit, as a schus for himself. Saying, listen, I've accomplished something. I got these guys to be from Jews. So let me off the hook and let me get out of the fish. Okay? Vani b'kol todah. When he let me out of the fish with a voice of joy as b'chol lach, vani b'kol todah as b'chol lach, with a voice of joy, I will sacrifice my korban todah to you. Korban todah is, of course, brought when somebody comes back safely from sea. Asher nadarti, that's which I vowed. Ashalema, that which I vowed I will pay. According to the other Mephoshim, besides the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer, the vow is either the vow to bring Korbanos if he's saved, or the vow to go to Nineveh. As we saw in the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer, however, it refers to the Leviathan and the world to come. Yeshua saw Hashem. When will I do this? When God redeems me. Vayomer Hashem l'dog. So God said the word to the fish. Vayoki es Yona el hayabosha. And Yona was spewed out onto dry land. Okay? That's the end of the parak as far as Pashup Shad is concerned. Now, of course, the most fun when you're learning Nach is to free associate. And I want to free associate here. Can you know, switch? You know, Dr. Dak, you can turn the switch. Pull it down a bit. Here. You know what? I'll turn up. Let's do some free association here. There are four words which came to my mind which seem to be related. Yevain, Yavan, Yona, and Nineveh. Now, Yevain makes much more impression when it's dark and it's up on the wall, doesn't it? Now, Yevain means mud. It's Hebrew. Yeah, Yevain Amtsu appears in Tanakh. Yavan, of course, is Greece. Yona is our hero. And Nineveh is obvious, the city to which he sent. And Nineveh is Yonah plus a Nun. Right? So it seems that there must be some kind of association here. Although it's not, I can't prove it. But it's the words seem to come together in my mind. Also, what's mud comprised of? Mud is water mixed with dirt. Right? Okay, I know all these things on the board, but I want to deal with them slowly, piece by piece. So therefore, obviously, Yevain has something to do with water, and of course, Yonah has to do with water. Okay? Now, there are two major malachim, and we're going to see something about them in a minute inside. There's Michael and Gabriel. These are the two, quote-unquote, archangels. I know it's not a Jewish term, but these are the major angels. Michael and Gabriel. Michael, Mimini, Michael. Michael's on the right. Umismoli, Gabriel, and Gabriel's on the left. Right? Michael, Umismoli, Gabriel, etc., etc. Now we have that in mind. We'll come back to this in a moment. Let's turn here now to page 5. And very interesting and cryptic Gemara and Brachos. You see, I have a big bracket there on the bottom of page 5. This is where I'm brought up to the base. I'm Rabbi Elazar bar Avina. Rabbi Elazar bar Avina said, God, can everybody see? Should I turn on the light? Is that okay?
It's fine.
God, I'm Hashanem, Rabbi Michael. There's more said about Michael. Something's more special about Michael. Yoyser, Hashanem, Rabbi Gabriel, more than it says by Gabriel. There will be Michael, see, by Michael it says, Vayoyef alayi chamin asofim, by Michael. One of the burning fiery angels calling towards me. Vilu Gabi Gabriel by Gabriel says, Ksiv, for each Gabriel, the man Gabriel, Sharisi Bachazon, which I saw in my vision, Bitchila, originally, I mean, I saw my original vision, Muaf Bayaf, he flew with a jump, the Goymer. My Mashadai Echon Michael. How do we know that Echamina Srafim is Michael? Or who? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Asya echad echad." We learn now from extrapolation. Ksiva achav yoyef elai echad min asrafim and says one here, the one of the asrafim. Ksiva asim and says over there somewhere else. The name Michoel echad min asrafim are yishanim. Michoel, one of the first officers, Balaz Reini came to help me. And the Gemara learns this is a very cryptic thing. Tana, we learned in a brisa, Michoel bachas. He can go. He makes one jump. Gabriel bishnayim. Gabriel makes two jumps. Same distance, two jumps. Elio Barba. Elio covers the four distance in four jumps. Umal Chamoves Bishmaina. The Mal Chamoves covers the same distance in eight jumps. And Uvishasa Magepo at the time of playing Ba'achas with one jump. Now, I'm not going to deal tonight with Elio and the Mal Chamoves. We don't have the time and the scope to deal with that. But I like the difference between Michael and Gabriel. Michael covers the distance in one jump, and Gabriel in two jumps. What in the world does that mean? And when I taught this in Daf Yomi many years ago, this is 5 years ago, didn't have shot. But by that time, the comprehensive index on Rav Tzadik was not yet out, so I didn't know where to look. Now, Baruch Hashem is the comprehensive index, and we know where to look. So we turn to page 6, and I have a few things underlined, page 6, 7, and 8, and we'll see these things inside. He explains the Gemara. Upeir Shafifa. Anybody see where I have it underlined in the last column on page 6? Uperish Afifa. What does Afifa mean? He's Pashtus expansion lane case without any boundaries. V'zeo madregat ha-chesed kayadua. That's the level of chesed. What does chesed mean? To expand, constantly expand. That's what Michoel represents, constant expansion. Ki Michoel sarsha Yisrael, because Michoel is the master, the angel corresponding to Klai Yisrael, to Kula Chassadim, and therefore he represents complete chesed, because obviously Hashem is complete chesed towards Klai Yisrael. Abba Gabriel, I'm only reading where I have underlined, Gabriel umidas ha-gvura. Gabriel, however, is the power of restraint and courage. Kumash kasim peragarbe psachim, like it says in Arvei Psachim, in Masechta Psachim, Shusar Shalesh, he's the master, the Malach of fire. Uva Medrash, and of course fire and Gevura are related. Uva Medrash, and it says in the Medrash, Michoel Shomayim, Michoel is from water, V'Gavriel Shalesh, and Gavriel is of fire. Shumida Satzimtzum, Gavriel is the Midah of constriction. He's not expansive. By definition in Kabbalah, everything which has to do with chesed is expansive, going out, spreading. Everything that has to do with gvura, ezu gibor hakovish es yitzro, a gibor restrains his yitzro, has to do with constriction, drawing back, contracting. These are two opposing forces. One is symbolized by water, which spreads all over the place, and fire also does spread all over the place, but not without fuel, not on its own, and therefore it's considered to be very, very focused. Okay, also the heat has something to do with that, very intense. Now let's turn to page 7. Vavenod, and understand also in addition in this context, ki Michoel osios malachi, Michoel. You sort of should, jumble the letters and get Malachi. Shekula Malachi is completely angelic. Vuvechad, since he's so angelic, he can get anywhere in one jump. However, the Gavriel osios gever. Gavriel has the letters gever, which means man. V'cheinikra ish b'Daniel is also called a man. Shumi madregas ish, because he's on the level of humans. Shekasav Arama Perek Beis Miyotzei Torah, that what kind of malachim are these? Those Shem Achronim, they are the latter ones. I'm not sure what latter ones mean, but Ukmom Mutzoyim, they're almost like on a intermediate level, Ben Ish, between man, Umalach, and angel. Vumalach, and he's a malach, Umizdam Eliish, and he's like a man, and therefore Hubishnaim. So it was completely angelic, it's completely supernatural, doesn't need any assistance, it doesn't need any rest. One jump anywhere in the world. Something which is partially human, has traits of a human, finite, limited. You can't do everything at once. You have to take two jumps. You have to stop in the middle. I'm going to skip here about Elio. V'od, ki Michoel rak yisoid echad. Furthermore, Michoel only is comprised of one element. Shemeshoitzav eishloit. He's a fiery angel, which is a little bit ironic, but all angels are made out of fire. But he's only composed of fire. Whereas Gavriel Mishteiso, that's Gavriel, has two elements. Mikra Malachov Ruchos. He's part of the Malachim who have spirit, Ruach. He has spirit, Vakoshkin Esha Malimenu, and also fire. So he has two elements, both fire and wind. Whereas Michoel is completely fire. He's the Tsar of, obviously it's a different kind of fire. He's the Malach of water, who's made of fire, but it's a different kind of fire than the fire Gavriel is in charge of, if you can follow what I mean by that. Okay? Now, let's turn to page 8. A similar idea is expressed by the Tzaddik on page 8. Umalach Yashavis. Everybody see where I have it underlined? Torah Tzvah, second column. Malach Yasharis, they don't speak Aramaic. You're aware of that, right? What about English? Do they speak English? Chinese? No foreign languages. What? If they're programmed. Only Hebrew. The only language Malach can speak, according to Chazal, is Hebrew. Nothing else. They can't speak anything else. They don't speak any other language. Like the ancients, right? Between Deim, Shutikiboy, and the Brachos. Vaina, what does it mean? Deim Shaichus, the Kochos Pratil Shalomos. They have no connection to any specific power of any nation. They don't. They have no Shaichus to Goyim. How can they understand Goyim? No capacity to understand Goyim. Jews, they have a hard enough time understanding when we get materialistic. Certainly Goyim, they have no connection to. Rak, Shivan, Ashir, and Sarim, the only Malachim have any affinity to Goyim are the 70, so to speak, officers in charge of the 70 nations of the world. Not the Malachi Asharis who are affiliated with Am Yisrael, literally the office of Klal Yisrael in the divine vehicle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like it says about Michal, that he's your star. And it's known, the Michal Osios Malach. Michal is the letters Malach, Kiyushorish Malach, because he's the source of Ma'o Malachim. So he certainly doesn't know any of the other languages. Verak! Gabriel, Yodea, he knows other languages besides Hebrew. Only him. Kedisa Sham, Beperek, I'm not sure which Perek this is. Not sure which one. And Kusashalesh, Shiva, we learned this in Avim Sachim, I know what Aleph Nun is, that he's the master of fire. Why does Gabriel have to have this power of speaking the 70 languages? Because he's got to have something to do with the Goyim. He has the power, the strength, to punish those who transgress the will of God. And all the punishment for Goyim, Nim Shachimeno, comes from Gabriel. Like it says in Perichelik, Gabi Sancheirid. When Sancheirid, the king of Assyria was the same nation for which Nineveh was affiliated with. When he was destroyed, it was destroyed by Gabriel. Gabriel came down, as a famous Maisa, the entire camp of Sancheirid was outside Yerushalayim, waiting to kill Chizkiyahu and all the people in the city, and Gabriel came down in the night and killed them all out. Gabriel, he's the one who came. That's case certainly has to know how to deal with the Goyim in order to give them the right to punishment. And also that's why it's also called a man, because he has this human capacity. In other words, he knows how to deal with human beings and what their strengths and power are down below. Chenis never says Gabriel b'shtayim. Gabriel's got two jumps. He knows two things. Michal only knows one thing. On high, Gabriel knows both, down below and up above. Basco, and there, he also, I don't know how Basco got in here. I guess that's something to do with the world previously. I know I underlined that. It's not relevant. Okay, let's just delete that. Now, one last thing before we get before we go to the board, to the projector. Another Reb Tzadok, these first two from the Dov Reb Tzadok, listen to the Likutei Ma'amorim. Just one line. Yavon. By Greece it says, Kinoda b'Talmud. It's known in the Talmud. Nikra Chachmas Yavon, it's what's called Greek wisdom. Klal Chachmas Anoshios. All human wisdom is called in the Gemara Chachma Yevanis. Vehem hepech mitzorish ba'peh, and they are the opposite. They stand in opposition to Torish ba'peh. Reb Tzadok builds a whole thesis several places that human wisdom expanded dramatically at the time of the Greeks, which was at the Greek philosophers at the same time that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola and the Tanoim started expanding Torish ba'peh by the Jews, and these are two forces which stand opposite and generally in opposition to each other. Okay? These are all the facts we need, I believe, to free associate here. Now, you know, I really need now, I see in one of these laser pointers. That I need is my next toy. Now, Michael is the Malach of Am Yisrael. He represents Chesed, expansiveness, and he corresponds to water, and he's completely a Malach. In Kabbalah also, Chesed is very closely related to Chachma. Chachma is facts, knowledge. Awareness. On the other hand, Gabriel is the Malach of fighting the Goyim. He's the Malach of Gvura and the Malach of fire, and he's partially a man, so to speak. And he represents in Kabbalah the power of Gvura is associated with Bina, with understanding. Because we've explained this many times, if you have facts, a stream of information, then you don't really have an understanding of it. You have to be able to categorize things, to pigeonhole them, in order to give them in order to understand them. And therefore, you need restraint, you know, kind of like to catch a concept and grasp it. We even use that in the English language in order to understand it. So therefore, that which is completely expansive and doesn't differentiate, doesn't categorize, doesn't represent chokhmah, just a great amount of knowledge. Whereas bina is that which grasps, differentiates, categorizes, and that is connected to gevurah. Now, water represents chokhmah. We know that all over, Torah and water are the same. Aruka mi'eretz mida rechava miniyam. It's broader than the seas. It goes just like water goes from a high place to a low place. So too, Torah goes from on high to somebody who's humble. All over, the metaphor for wisdom, for chokhmah, is water. Water. Now, if you have chokhmah, which is muddled with chomer, you have wisdom, which has become mixed up with materialism. It's the pursuit of, you know, earthly pleasures and such like, gashmius, that is mud. That's yavain.
You muddy the water.
Right, you muddy the waters, and that is where yavon comes from. Yavon and yavain are related. Chachma yavonis. There's a lot of beautiful wisdom in chachma yavonis. Philosophy, poetry, transcendent things. But it's become mixed up with all sorts of licentious and base, corrupt pursuits as well. That's why Chochmah Yevonis is so dangerous. If it was just materialism and hedonism, it wouldn't be so bad. But now that it got mixed up, the Chochmah got mixed up with the Chomer, the mud, that's much more difficult to deal with. Yonah was taken by the fish, according to the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer, to pursue all the potential wisdom in the world. Again, the waters represent, the seas represent the great wisdom. I don't know if we could take the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer literally or metaphorically, but certainly the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer is describing a process which Yonah had to undergo to become aware of everything, all the wisdom which is in the world. Just like Gavriel, not Michael. Gavriel has to become aware of all the wisdom in the world in order to know how to deal with the Goyim. So to Yonah had to become aware of all the wisdom in the world in order to deal with the Goyim. Yeah, perhaps the extra hay, which you find in Yonah, is the hay from Shem Hashem, in Yonah's name, that allows him to uplift even Chochmah that has become Yevain. In other words, normally something which is Yevain is mixed up, is muddied, is muddled, is bad. But Yonah's purpose is to uplift, to take everything, all the wisdom in the world, and even that which has become muddied and muddled, and uplift it. And that's also symbolized by the Leviathan. You know, I wanted to say also, I didn't write it down because it's not true. I wanted to say Leviathan also has Yud Vav Nun in it. So it's also related. But it's not. Leviathan, it seems, is the root of Leviathan is Lamed Tuf Nun. Latan. It's also a word in Ugaritic. Yeah. You could, but that's not. It doesn't have a vav. So it's less.
Vase,
yeah. So it's not as good, not as close. But you're right, you can add that as well. Once you're free associating, somebody said to me today, I bet you could prepare the shiur better when you're drunk. So you free associate much better, but you know, you can associate a lot. Shamsha Paul Hirsch associates on the basis of two letters very often, and even on the basis of one similar letter when you have words which are similar. In any event, so this. You know, I wouldn't say there's no point, except the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer says it, and it's a strange thing for the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer to point out, because why in the world would Yonah be taken at this juncture? Excuse me? I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that Yonah and Gavriel are the same person, because I couldn't find anyone in Chazal, the same entity, but I would like to say that there are interchangeable characteristics among the two. And that's why in one place we find, in the Pirkei Rabbi Lezer, we find that Yonah is the one who masters Leviathan, and then we find that Gavriel masters Leviathan. It's not that they're not arguing. Fine, they're arguing. But obviously, if they're both finding Leviathan, there must be comparable traits between the two of them. That's the argument I'm making. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have to agree.
No, but what's the purpose? Okay, so that's right. Think about the vision.
It'll have to, we'll see. You're right. It has to do with, we'll come back to that. In any event, but just what I didn't write down, by Leviathan is in Chazal, there too, when the Leviathan is used, the big fish is used, it represents one of two metaphors. Leviathan sometimes represents wisdom. The Rishonim say, wisdom is called Leviathan because the Mishle, wisdom is called Leviathan L'Roshecha, an accompaniment of grace to your head. So Leviathan represents the ultimate wisdom. And of course, when it says that Hashem shechts it for the tzaddikim in the world to come, because ultimate wisdom will be accomplished by the tzaddikim only in the world to come. In this world, we can't have ultimate wisdom. We don't have it accessible. That's one metaphor. The other metaphor given to Leviathan is that of lust. Because fish are very lusty. That's what it says, like fish multiply all the time. So, in that sense, in the first metaphor, it's a positive metaphor. In the second metaphor, in which Chazal take it, it's a negative metaphor. But again, I'm not trying to reconcile the two, but I'm trying to say that the two things can come together as well. If we understand that wisdom is a wonderful thing, very, very powerful and very great, and very important to master, but there also are, sometimes the wisdom is accompanied by danger. When the person who is wise has not made himself first a Yirei Shamayim and restrained himself from Taiva, then the wisdom could get all messed up. And Gavriel or Yonah, when they come to fight the Leviathan, are coming on the cheshbon of the first metaphor to master all wisdom, and they're coming on the cheshbon of the second metaphor to overcome the Taiva, which is represented by the Leviathan as well. So those are two important ways of understanding the metaphors which Chazal, the Rishonim, give to the Leviathan. Now, since Yonah had this characteristic, that's why he was sent to Nineveh. He was specifically suited to deal with Goyim, just like Gabriel. Yonah, the same traits. That's why he also had such an impact on the sailors, because he had a specific power, a specific tchuna, specific characteristic which allowed him to deal very well with the goyim. But he didn't want to do this. He didn't want to achieve all this. On the contrary, the power of fire is antithetical to the water. The natural tendency of a Gabriel, of a Yonah, is to fight the goyim. Is to overcome them. Is to wage the war with the Leviathan. That's what he wanted to do. He didn't want to be mashpia on them in a nice way. Bring them back to God. Yonah never tried with the sailors to have that kind of impact. He went down into the hold and went to sleep. It was almost, despite Yonah, that they went into tshuva. He certainly didn't want to have that impact on Nineveh. By the way, ironically enough, I know, we know so little Tanakh. The next sefer after Yonah in Treasar is what? What's the next sefer after Yonah? Whoops, wrong one. What's after Mincha? Nachum? What's the first Paskin, Nachum? Matzah Nineveh. So all of Nachum, it's a short sefer, I think it's three parakim, is about how Nineveh is going to be destroyed. It comes after Yonah. Yonah's great act of being Machzeh Metshuva, it didn't last very long. Two Nevi'im later, Malcolm came along and has a whole three broken about how that's it, Nineveh. You guys are done in for. It wasn't a permanent tshuva. It didn't last forever. And the truth is, Yonah probably knew this. Yonah knew this is only a temporary thing. Let's just go and kill them. Why do we have to go and get them to do tshuva? Eventually they're all going to be destroyed anyway. It must have been a terrible nisayon for Yonah to have to go and do this. Knowing as that Nachum would come a few years later, several generations later, and just do away with Nineveh anyway. And Taka didn't want to do that. He didn't want to achieve all this. He wanted to vanquish them. And Hashem was giving a very strong sign. Hashem was saying, no, that's not the way I want to deal with this. I want you to go and get them to do tshuva. That's what I want you to do. Lasi Glavo, ultimately and inevitably, however, regardless of how it's going to happen, we don't know exactly how it's going to happen, the power of Bina, power of Gavriel of understanding, must grasp the Chochmah. And the Geber, Gavriel, must unite with the Malach, and the Gevura, also represented by Gavriel. Remember, everybody knows the Magistrate says in the world to come, Halacha is like Beis Shammai. The Midas HaGevura overcomes or supplants the Midas of Chesed and Beis Hillel. I want to explain this a little bit more. We know that there's Shamayim and there's Oretz. There's heavens and there's earth. And Rav Zevin says one of his beautiful pieces in Latzarov LaMoadim, he says that in this world, obviously Shamayim is supreme. But that's not why God created the world. God created the world in order that the earth should be supreme. God, as the Medrash says, Nisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lios Lo Dira B'Tachtonim, Hashem desired to reside down here below. He doesn't want to stay up there. He wants us to make a Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham and dwell among us down below. Not only that, so to speak, Hashem wants to be subservient to mankind. Hashem said, you be in charge. Tzadik goes there, you decree V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, and I'll fulfill what you want me to do. Hashem asked B'nai Yisrael to take charge. We haven't done a good job, but that's the purpose. The purpose of in all of creation is that ultimately mankind should overcome that which is above and beyond him in this world. The Chochmah, the Leviathan, which is too hard to deal with in this world, ultimately man has to master. And ultimately, the great Chesed, which Hashem gives us, we have to say, we don't need it anymore. We're mature enough to run things on our own. We can use the Midah of Gvura, of Midah Sadin, of the judgment properly, and we'll be able to run affairs properly without this great chesed from Hashem. Ultimately, all the Leviathan and the powers of the war, the power of Chochmah, must be overcome. When will we be able to overcome? We have to absorb ourselves and use ourselves. But when we'll be able to do that, again, harking back to the other metaphor of Leviathan, only when we're able to vanquish all of our bad taivas, all of our bad midos, in order that it shouldn't be a Chochmah Yevanis, a muddied, muddled Chochmah, but rather a pristine and beautiful Chochmah of Torah. Now, Yonah, we learned last week, was from the seafaring Shvatim. He was from Asher on one side and Zvulun on the other side, and those are both the seafaring Shvatim, who are more capable of dealing with waters, obviously. They're capable of dealing with muddied waters. And was from also the power of fire to overcome waters, to overcome negative waters. Yet he was required to restrain this natural tendency and to be makariv in faith. That was the point. That there are two ways of approaching it. You can go on a battle, or you can go in dealing with the goyim, or you can deal in dealing with the people who are Yavan or Nineveh, who are all muddied and messed up. You can just destroy them, or you can go and try and deal with them in a pleasant way. Try and get them to see the light. Like we say, you know, Yakir Nolenu, Yakir V'yedu Koyoshvei Sevel Kilchot Yichako Be'er Tishval Shalom, let them all come back and be illuminated. And that's what Ray learned in Brachos. Hashem wants there to be a Yefes. Yefes, of course, is... We learn halacha from this pasuk, by the way. We learn that even we're allowed to write the Torah in Greek. We're allowed to write the Torah in Greek and be Yotzei Kulaining in Greek. Well, we don't do it that way for various reasons. But it's on the book. Such halacha exists. Greek is a beautiful language, and the Torah recognizes it. That Hashem wanted there to be Am Yisrael to have a positive approach to the Goyim, not a negative one. Now, it obviously doesn't work very often. But theoretically, that's the way things are supposed to be. And that's what Yonah is saying. When Yonah said, Es Asher Nadarti Asholein, there's several layers of meaning in it, depending on which Mephorish you learn like. And, as the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, this is what saved Yonah. And what got Yonah out of the bind. And we mentioned last week already that why do we read Yonah on Yom Kippur? Do we read Yonah on Yom Kippur in order to allude to the tshuva of Nineveh? Or do we read it in order to allude to the tshuva of Yonah himself? And after having seen Sefer Nochum, and I just I just found that by looking through a concordancia for the word Ninveh, after having seen Sefer Nochum, it's clear to me that it's not for the Truva of Ninveh. Because for other reasons as well, perhaps, but for this, if no, for no other reason, it didn't last. Here we are quoting Ninveh, and next year they went, whatever it was, they went back to their old ways. So, okay, they were good for a while. That's what we want to be on Yom Kippur. Today we'll do tshuva, but tomorrow we're going to go out, eat, drink, and make merry. We certainly don't want to allude to that on Yom Kippur. No, the pshat is Yonah. Yonah had a certain characteristic, which is a great characteristic, which is a Gavriel characteristic, which is to fight and be fire and deal with the Leviathan in that way. And Yonah was given here a test. He said to him, okay, that's true that that's your natural tendency to fight, like Gavriel. But we're going to give you a test. We're going to see, can you deal with them? And we're even going to give you the preparation to deal with the whole world by sending you on this great trip, this great training trip, underneath the sea with the fish. Just antithetical to your nature, because you're this fiery guy and we're sending you down with the fish all over the seas, both physically and metaphorically. Can you withstand that nisayon? Will you be able to do that properly and go ahead and prophesy to the goyim and try and bring them to do tshuva? And Yonah was on, and we see he had that power. We see he had that power when he got the sailors to do tshuva, even inadvertently, or by accident. So that's what Yonah was saying. He's saying, you know what? I understand. I didn't want to overcome that characteristic of mine. That's why I fled. It's totally antithetical to what my personality is. But I'm willing to do it now, L'shem Shemayim. I realize that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to overcome my characteristic, even if it's a good characteristic, for an ultimate purpose which is greater, so therefore I'm going to be overcome it. And that's what Yonah is saying, Nadarti Ashalem, and that was the schus for which he was saved, and then Hashem sent the fish to spew him out on the land to go and perform this deed. Okay, it's not going to be simple for Yonah. We're going to see later on he has charata on this, right? When the tree dries up at the end of the sefer. But for now, that's what we see in this parak. We'll stop here for tonight.